We'd ask you tonight to turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1, Matthew chapter 13. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, that where there had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." We want to speak tonight with the Lord's help, and some seed fell on good ground. If you're here and you're saved tonight, you're good ground. And this is what we want to see. You know, if you've been saved by the grace of God, seed fell on good ground. And when seed falls on good ground, it grows. And as we see here in verse number 8, it produces something. And we want to consider that tonight. First of all, the seed. No one was here saved tonight unless the seed first came by. And the seed, according to Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I'm saved tonight, we say, by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, He brought the Word of God to me.
Amen.
And He cracked that old stony heart that was within me and replaced it with a heart of flesh. That is the seed being planted. And that seed begins to grow. Some grows faster than others. But as a seed grows, it's going to produce fruit.
Amen. Amen.
As again, we see here in verses 3 through 8, he says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." As we preach the Word of God, some seed falls by the wayside. We don't have any direction over that. Our responsibility is to preach the Word.
Amen.
And it's going to fall on all manner of ground. He says, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." We see the seed fall on rocky ground sometimes too. We've all seen it. And when springs up, takes root, you know, at first we look like they're falling on good ground. You see people, and seemingly they're what they call on fire for the Lord, but just a short time, and they're gone. Most of them you never see again. It fell on stony ground. When that sun come up, and the sun that comes up, I believe, is the cares of this world, the things of this world, the entertainment of this world, or whatever else they enjoy, and they're gone. Because the world's more inviting than the Word of God. He says, "But other fell on, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out." There's many times they start out similar to that falls on rocky ground. They spring up, and it seems like, you know, the seed is taken hold. But when the thorns and the thistles of this world come up, the cares of this world, they're choked out and they're gone. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So tonight we want to concentrate on that which fell on the good ground. That which fell on the good ground. When seed falls on good ground, and we can liken this unto everyday life, I believe most everybody here is familiar with farming of some sort, gardening. I was raised on a small farm, and every spring we'd go out and, well, my dad did the plowing, but I helped plant, and I did a whole lot of the hoeing. But you plant that seed in that good ground. Now, there was a place on our property that was low and swampy, held water most of the year. You didn't plant no seed down there. You planted it in the good ground. And you cultivated it. And you hoed it. And you weeded it. And that's exactly what happens here when the seed, Word of God, falls upon the good ground. In order for it to grow, it has to be groomed. It has to be cared for. And this is what we're here tonight doing. We're taking care of that seed that fell on good ground. We're watering it. We're feeding it.
Amen.
We're taking care of it. And that's the only way that it'll produce good fruit. And when the seed falls on good ground, as we mentioned already, the Lord took and removed that old stony heart and placed a heart of flesh within us. And then in doing that, He puts the Holy Spirit within our souls. And that Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are His. And it's when the Word of God preaches, He bears witness with our souls. And that's how we grow. Let's look in the book of Romans in chapter 8 and see if it's not so by the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is what bears witness with our spirits, in which we identify with our Lord. And in essence, then, we identify with the Word of God, which is the water, and which is the food in which we receive, and which we grow as the good seed. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you're none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you are not of the good seed. You're not the good ground. The Word of God will not grow there. You may gain a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, but it'll never grow. I'm talking about head knowledge. Verse 14 here, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ,
Amen.
If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him."
Amen.
And that last verse, when he says, "We also suffer with Him." You see, that's why when the seed falls on stony ground or among the thorns, they don't want to suffer with Christ. The good seed, that which falls into the good ground, you're willing to suffer. You're willing to go to the end with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're willing to take what He brings into your life. And I don't mean just sit back and like you relax, but you're ready to take it. You're ready to pray about it. You're ready to confront Him with it and take however He'll have you go. There's a lot of things people will suffer in their life that I'll never suffer. There's things that I'll endure that you'll never endure. But He has a road for us all. And if you're good ground, you'll produce whatever he has set you forth to do. The good ground, as we've already mentioned, is the soul of the sight. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, let's look at this a little further. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. He says, but that on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Bring forth fruit with patience. You know, that word patience here, I believe, is a key to the seed that falls on good ground. It takes patience to be a child of God. It takes patience to serve God. We face all manner of things in this world. Satan does not like the children of God. But don't blame everything on Satan. We find where Abraham faced great trials by God, testings. God puts us through many testings. None of us here have faced the testings that Abraham did. His only son, the one whom God said, through your seed, Isaac, will the Messiah come, will the promise come through Isaac. Now you take Isaac, your only begotten son in all reality, and you offer him on a mountain where I'll show you. They took the wood, they took the fire. He took Isaac, who was a man of about 26 years old at that time,
right,
went to the foot of Mount Moriah, and he told his servants to wait here, and I and the lad will return.
Amen.
Now, Abraham knew he was coming back down with Isaac. But they went up that mountain, and he made that altar. And he laid the wood. And as on their way up, Isaac said, here's the wood and where's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? He says, God will provide himself with a lamb. That's patience.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
That's believing the word of God. That which falls upon the good ground believes God. And will go to the limit that God will send them, believing as Abraham did. I'll come back, I and the lad will come back down. The seed, I believe an example we can see of this, this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself being the example in John chapter 12, as far as the good seed. Now we're not saying, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying we're like Christ here. I'm using the example of him as the good seed, because he is the Word of God.
Amen.
Here in verses 23 and 24 of John 12, it says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus Christ, being the seed, that which is, he is the Word of God. He came into our hearts when we were saved. And he produced fruit. That's the fruit. The souls that his Father gave us. And then we are going to produce fruit also.
Amen.
Some ground will produce more fruit than others.
Amen.
When we planted, we already mentioned the swamp. But in the area where I grew up, there was very diverse types of soil. And farmers grew what type of crops was best suited for their soil. There were some farms that had what they called peat soil. It was a very dark, black soil. And it grew the best onions you ever seen in your life. I don't like onions, but they would grow onions coming out your ears. And you go by that old black soil and you see those onions out there. And I said, man, I'm glad they're growing them instead of me. But we had some sandy soil in ours, part of our land, grew the best potatoes. You know, so you adapt whatever it is. And every one of us are a different type of soil. We're all the soil which God has planted the seed within us. Boy, we'll all produce different fruits. But yet we're going to see in a few moments, it's all the same kind of fruit. It's all the same kind of fruit. Fruit is not just soul saved. You know, I've run across many people in my life that thought the only fruit you produced as a child of God is how many souls you could mark down and said, you know, this, and these, and these, and these have all been saved through my witnesses, through my preaching. Every man here who's been called by the grace of God can testify, we don't know how many souls have been touched by our preaching. We have no idea. It's not our business to keep a tally.
Amen.
So, that yes, souls are a part of that fruit. But it's not all the fruit that we produce. So we look in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. And we see here where the Lord gives us an example of the fruits that we're to produce. And I tell you what, I've seen run across a lot of people in my life who claim to be the children of God. They don't even come close to producing these fruits in their life. But he says in verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and gifts such there is no law. These are the fruits. These are the fruits that will grow within the word of the seed that's planted in this good ground and will be seen in this world. If these fruits are not seen in your life, you need to take inventory. You may not be a child of God. I don't believe that you can walk around in this world and bear the fruits of this world and the fruits of the Spirit at the same time.
Amen.
They don't mix.
Amen.
It's about like planting corn and expecting to get strawberries. You can't do it.
Amen.
The fruits of this world will not mix with the fruits of the Spirit that are planted in the good ground. We who are saved become trees, be planted by the rivers of water. In the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 1. I love this psalm. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is seed planted in good ground.
Amen.
You know, we had a severe drought here a couple years ago. And the creek behind our house was growing weeds. There wasn't any water in it. But yet you go out where the rivers still had water. And the trees and the vegetation along those rivers was still green. It was still green. Why? Because the roots of those trees, they drew water from that river. We as the children of God, we who that seed has fallen upon the good ground, we're going to draw from the waters of the Word of God. And we're going to produce the fruits of the Word of God. We're going to grow, we're going to prosper as the tree beside the rivers of water. When everything else dries up, the tree planted beside the river still is green and still produces fruit. So will we. In the worst of times, in the hardest of times, when your patience are tried the most, you're going to produce fruit. If you're the seed planted in good ground. If you're not, you're going to be one of these seeds that have fallen by the wayside, or amongst the thorns, or upon the rocky ground. When we're planted with the gospel seed, we're planted by the river of living water. Lord Jesus Christ is the living water.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, when He talked to the woman at the well, He told her, He says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask of Him drink and you'd never thirst again.
Amen.
Now, when we say you'll never thirst again, that doesn't mean that we don't thirst for the Word of God. We do. But it's not like a thirst of those who are out with parched tongues. The thirstiest I've ever been was on August 27th of 1967. I was in basic training at Fort Knox, and they took us out and issued us all of our equipment, and they marched us back in 102 degree temperatures, 2.5 miles. I got back, my tongue felt like about that thick. But they said, don't drink a whole lot of water. Just take sips. But we aren't like that if we're the seed that's fallen on good ground. We aren't going to be parched like that. We have the living water here before us. We can pick up the living water. And we can read the living water. We can digest the living water. We can see what He would have us to do. We can see the basic commandments of God that He has given us. You know, that's where people go wrong. They don't look at the basic commandments that God has given us, seeming like they're like a people sitting around waiting for God to give them a newsflash. Do this. Look what He'd have you to do in your daily life. You need to pray. You need to read the Word of God. You need to meditate upon the Word of God. Just as it says here in this first Psalm, you meditate upon the Word of God throughout today.
Amen.
If it's no more than taking one verse of Scripture and reading it, and reading it, and reading it, and thinking about it, and digesting it. We took some classes several years ago, well, a long time ago, because Hafford Overby's been dead a long time, but Hafford Overby taught them. And he said, and he was always preaching funerals at a funeral home near him, the church he pastored, because a lot of people, if they didn't have any pastors, the funeral home would come and get him. But he was talking to a person one time, and he always would tell us these stories. He says this man told him he'd read 15 chapters in his Bible a day. How much did you read, Hafford, Mr. Overby? Or he says I read one verse of Scripture. He says this guy began to beam, like he says I'm so look what more I've gotten you than you have. Brother Hafford says, yeah, but I've been chewing on what I read. You know, there's a difference.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong. It's good if you just sit down and read two or three chapters. But you also need to take something and chew on it.
Amen.
And that's letting that Word fall on good ground. That's cultivating that seed that's fallen on good ground. Meditating. Thinking upon the Word of God. taking in that living water. You know, the Bible gives us so many analogies of the Lord Jesus Christ in our spiritual life. He is the manna that came down from heaven. He's the living water. You know, He's our shelter. He's our peace. He's everything we need to grow as a seed that's fallen on good ground. The seed that has fallen on good ground, Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, to grow. If you aren't growing, there's something wrong.
Amen.
And seed that is planted in good ground will grow. It will grow. If it don't grow, you might as well dig it up and throw it away. But he says here, in verse 18 of 2 Peter 3, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever." Grow. Grow in grace and knowledge. You know, as you plant seed and it begins to grow, as the rains come and water it, and as you cultivate it and you hoe it and you keep it weeded and it begins to grow, it becomes a mature plant. And it produces fruit. It produces what you desire. When you plant corn, you desire to have corn. You plant tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. And so forth. But if it remains just a seedling, there's no fruit. There's no fruit. But he says, grow. Look back in chapter 1 here, 1 Peter, and I believe he gives us an example of what this growth is. What we need to do in this growth. In verse 1, he says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord." Notice that he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied." When you plant seed and they grow, they multiply seed after themselves.
Amen.
You ever see how many ears of corn come on that one stalk? And then you pull back the husk on that corn. How many kernels are on there? From one kernel.
Amen.
From one kernel. He says, "Multiply unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue," according to Him. It's all according to Him.
Amen.
"Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We've escaped. That is, if you have the good seed in you, you've escaped the corruption of this world. By escaping the corruption, that means you don't have any pleasure in it. You don't have any desire to wallow in it. You're not a child of this world. You're not a child of Satan. The things of this world should not even interest you. Shouldn't have any desire to do the things of this world. If you do, you may be stony ground. You may be sitting there by the wayside or amongst thorns. He says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see, there's a continuous growing. A continuous adding. As you watch that garden grow and those plants mature, they go through various stages. You see them blossom and then bud out, or bud out and blossom, and then the small fruit coming forth, the baby fruit, so to speak. And as it grows through the summer, it gets larger and larger until it matures and you can use it. And this is exactly how we are as the seed that's planted on good ground. The longer we grow, the more we grow, the more use we're going to be for the Master. The more mature fruit this world's going to see.
Amen.
You know, the more mature you are, the more patience you're going to have. The more better you're going to be able to handle situations. Do you think, looking again at Abraham, when he took Isaac up on that mountain, do you think when Ishmael was born that he had been able to handle that? No. He wasn't ready for it. First of all, it was the wrong son. But when the right son was there, and the right maturity was there, God said, Abraham, take your son. Go sacrifice him. But as we mature, the more we mature, the more we grow, the more the Lord will trust us with. The more He can put upon us. The more able we can fight the battles that come our way. And the Lord, He's not going to give us anything that we can't handle. As we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10 and 11, the fruits of the Spirit should multiply and grow also. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 10 and 11. He says, but he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes thou through us thanksgiving to God. You see, the more we mature, and the more we experience in this life, the more thankful we're going to be. The more thankful we're going to be. You ever have a rough day? You say, who hasn't? You ever at the end of the day thank the Lord for that? There's not any situation that comes into our life that God hasn't allowed. And He's allowed it for our spiritual growth.
Amen.
Part of the fruits of the Spirit is when a tough situation comes into your life on the workplace. People are watching you. They're going to observe how you handle that situation. They know that you're a child of God, that you profess to be a child of God, and they see a rough situation come in your life, they're going to watch.
Amen.
To see how you handle it. And if you're maturing as a Christian, you're maturing as a child of God, as the good seed, you're going to handle it with grace. Oh, don't worry about it. Satan will tempt you with those things. He'll try to get you goat. He'll try to get you upset with the things of this world. That's where maturity comes. That's where growth comes. And when you grow in grace and truth, Remember, you're growing in Jesus Christ. Because John tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 17 that grace... Well, let's go back and read that. John chapter 1 and verse 17. Grace and truth. That's what you're going to grow in. Grace and truth. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. You're going to grow in grace and truth. And as you grow in grace and truth, the fruits that we read in Galatians chapter 5 are going to be more evident in your life. The more you grow, the more the fruit will be seen in your life. We lived, when Lynn and I first married, we bought a house. And, of course, I was pretty young at that time. But living in Michigan, you know, there was a lot of snow. And everybody around us was older people. Probably weren't any older than I am now, but they were older people at that time. And some of them older. But as when the snows would come, when I'd get my snow shovel out and clean our sidewalks out, I'd shovel those old widow ladies' driveways out in their sidewalks. And one time we got about one of those nice Michigan snows, you know, about 26 inches. And I was out there on a Saturday, and I had been working all morning long shoveling snow, go inside for a little bit and come out. And there was a lady lived kitty corner across from us. Mrs. Dill. I'd never really talked to the lady before. But I started shoveling her walk, and she says, hey, young man, come on in here. She says, it's time for some warm tea. And she had observed this. She says, I notice you go to church every Sunday. She says, I'm too old to get out anymore. And she began to talk to me, and she told me about every neighbor in the neighborhood and told me things about myself. And I said, how in the world does this lady know what's going on? I'd never talked to her before. But she observed. She observed. And that's growing in grace and truth. I'm not talking about observing people like she did, but I'm talking about observing the Word of God. Observe. Grow. In grace and truth. You know, there's a lot of people know things about the Bible. We had a neighbor when I was growing up, too. He's saved now, thank the Lord. But at that time, he wasn't saved. He was a drunk. And when he'd get drunk, he could quote Scripture left and right. But what good did it do him at that time? You know, a lot of people know things up here. But the seed falls in here. This is where the seed grows, within the soul. And we notice, and lastly, we want to look in Hebrews chapter 5. And note that there are levels of maturity. There are levels. Of course, part of this, Paul is scolding these Hebrews that they hadn't grown the way they ought to.
Right.
But we want to notice here that there are levels of maturity. As we mentioned, 39 years ago, I became a Baptist. And I sure hope I'm a whole lot more mature now than I was then. Because I didn't know a whole lot. I knew I was saved, and that's about it. But I would begin. But as I listened to Brother Hamill preach, and I would take notes, and I'd read the Bible through the week, and we'd come back for Thursday nights or Sundays, and I'd say, Brother Hamill, I don't understand this. This may be a stupid question. He says, stop. There's no stupid questions. He says, ask the question. If I know it, I'll tell you. If I don't, I'll find out. And you begin to grow. You have to hear. And you have to let that sink into your heart. And grow in grace and truth. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of the use of their senses, exercise to discern both good and evil. We come from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And the more mature you become as a child of God, the stronger the meat you can digest. You know, when babies are born into this world, you don't give them a steak. You don't even give them turkey like we ate for supper tonight. It was very good. You give them milk or formula today. As they begin to grow, they eat that old mushed up stuff and then bottle in those little jars. But they can digest it. And then as they grow a little bit older, you can give them potatoes off the table. And maybe grind up a little meat. And then as they continue to grow, they want to go get a hamburger. Until when at a certain age, no, they want their steak too. But you see, there's a progression here. And we need to progress. Too many people are dormant. And a dormant plant won't produce. But so we start out with the milk, and I tell you what, milk's still good. We still need some milk with our steak. But as we look in Proverbs then, lastly, Proverbs chapter 1, we find that as we progress in the Word of God, he tells us here again, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 here, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. In other words, this is what Solomon's going to talk about. To know wisdom and instruction. And we need that. We need to know instruction. There's a whole lot of people think they know instruction, but they don't know anything.
Right.
To know instruction, wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give stability to the simple, to the young man knowledge and direction or discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Note that. If seed has fallen in the good ground, then you will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Note that. The fear of God. And this is not talking about being afraid of the dark. This is talking about reverence.
Amen.
He who reverences God has the beginning of knowledge. If you don't believe that God has created all, is in control of all, you don't fear Him. God is our Creator. God is our Sustainer. God is our Savior. All things are in the hands of God. This last week when this earthquake took place in Haiti, Pat Robertson made a statement that wasn't necessarily untrue. But it wasn't perceived by the world. And I don't think he necessarily stated it as maybe he should. If you know anything about the history of Haiti, they're steeped in idolatry. And that's a pact with the devil. And on the other hand, all that goes on in this world, whether it's an earthquake in Haiti or a devastating hurricane that hits the shores of America or tornadoes that rip through the heart of this country, that's all in the hands of God. And much of it is the judgment of God. And that's when we gain knowledge. That's when you fear God, knowing that He is in control. He says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." That's growth. That's the good seed. Don't consent unto the enticement of sinners. Don't consent unto the enticement of this world. And there's so much enticement in this world today. You can't even watch evening news without pornography showing up in commercials. You see, there's enticement out there. Satan knows how to excite the flesh, whether it's male or females.
Amen.
And this is why you need to grow in grace, in truth, and know what to shut off and what to watch, what to hear, and what to turn off. I'm not talking about necessarily turning off your radio or anything else, but turning it off in your ears. They say men are the best at turning stuff off. But I tell you what, I've known a lot of women do too. And if you're a child of God, you need to learn to turn that stuff off. How many times have you been even like at Walmart and there's somebody just cuts loose? So you say when this kid growing up with a blue streak of profanity. We need to learn to walk away. We don't have to listen to that.
Amen.
I've worked in public where I've waited in public. And I've had people, customers, come in and begin to use foul language. And I'll tell them, "I don't use it towards you. Don't use it towards me." Kind of sets them back. But that's what we need to do. When you're in charge, tell them. If you're not, walk away. Is your soul good ground tonight? Are you growing in grace and truth? Is the fruits of the Spirit being seen in your life? If you are a child of God, they should be.